Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
I've done Wellington in a class, but I can't recall putting any special memories in.
Did you not put some, like, right down the middle, like a core? Hello, everybody, and welcome to our second festive episode. Happy New Year, everybody. Welcome to our New Year's episode of The Bakedown. I'm Sarah. I will be your host today. And with me, as always, we have the lovely Jane, the lovely Howard, and the lovely Dan. And we will be talking our way through our New Year's episode. So, yes, Happy New Year, everybody. Has everybody had a good Christmas? Dan, did you have a good Christmas?
I've eaten quite a lot. I feel, again, quite hungover. So, yes, I guess I have had a good Christmas. Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Howard, what about you?
Yeah, why do we record these when we're just feeling a little bit kind of, oh, I just want to go back to bed.
Jade, has it been a good Christmas for you?
Yeah, well, as a sober person, it's been a great Christmas because you can sit back and watch everybody else getting drunk and being very silly in the very smug knowledge that you will wake up the next morning feeling bright and chipper. So I'm feeling very bright and chipper. Yes, a very quiet Christmas, just the family over, lots of dog walks, lots of nice food. It was glorious.
Beautiful. Well, we hope all of our lovely listeners have had a lovely holiday, a lovely festive period. And we are back with our first podcast of 2023, our New Year's podcast. Now, we had some lovely returning faces to the tent. It was really lovely to see so many returning people. We had the lovely Manon from 2019. We had Anthony, also from 2019. Lottie from 2020. And, of course, Chigs from 2021. Lovely to see them back. Dan, I know you live very close to Manon and are quite good friends with her. Was it nice to see her on screen?
Well, yes and no. And I'll tell you why. Because in all seriousness, if I was to go back into the Bake Off tent, I would love to have gone back with either Kim Joy or Manon. I like everyone from our season is perfectly lovely, but Kim Joy and Manon were sort of two of the people that really, when I was having my vulnerable moments in the tent, sort of really supported me and were a shoulder to lean on. So I kind of have this fantasy that if I ever went back, it would be with either Kim Joy or Manon. So I'm happy for Manon that she got to go back on, but also a little bit sad for myself because my fantasy return to the Bake Off tent now will not happen. So if I am ever invited back, it won't be with sort of the people who would have been really special to go back with. So I'm kind of a bit sad in that respect. But I don't think they'll invite me back anyway, to be completely honest, because the person who's in charge of casting has unfollowed me on Instagram. So I don't know if I'll be invited back. I mean, I can read between the lines. So
maybe they left. Maybe somebody else has taken over.
Maybe they did. Was it something I said? Probably something I said. So, yeah, no, but I would have loved to have gone back on with Manon. You know, when I found out she was on, I sort of messaged her and said, you know, oh, very exciting. And she said, it would have been nice to have gone on with you, you know. You know, I'd have had some real competition. I was like, cheers, babe. So.
No, she knew she'd win if you were on. That was the thing.
Yeah, it was lovely to see her. And of course, lovely Anthony from my season as well. And I've not had much interaction with either Lottie or Chig, so it would have been nice to have met them as well. But yeah, it was great to see them all back. And I thought it was a really, really good lineup, actually. So yeah, I was excited for that one.
Indeed, yes. So Chig's famously made it to the final. Jane, do you think there's extra pressure when you make it to the final, but then you don't quite win and then you go back into the tent? Did you feel extra pressure to win?
To be honest, no. It's such a different experience when you go back for one of these sort of festive specials. You're just delighted to be back there, and they, you no longer feel like some sort of fish out of water. You feel it's all very familiar, and a lot of the crew's the same, or it certainly was when I was there. And it was just joyous. Andrew and I had this thing because I was on my Christmas special with Andrew. Both of us had this, like, who really did come second? Well, I mean, there was no contest, was there? I knew who came second, really.
Andrew, yes, we know.
I remember the shot, actually, on your Christmas special of you two glowering at each other. That was really iconic. I enjoyed that. Yeah, you could see the competition.
Well, there wasn't really. I mean, we're great mates. We're great mates. You know, it's lovely. Nobody really takes it as seriously, to be honest. It's just a wonderful bit of festive fun with some baking taking place as well. And Dan, I would love to go into the tent with you. I mean, I think we would have a laugh. Why, you know, anybody listening? Well, they're not listening to you, are they, if you've been unfollowed?
Anyone's
listening, you know, please, can we have us three in the tent? And who else would we pick for our fourth?
That would be such fun.
I don't know, but hang on, we need
another girl. So if we're talking our little bunch, maybe Karen?
Oh, Karen would be fun. Get the crisps in.
Can I present? Can I take it from Matt Lucas? Can I be a presenter?
Absolutely.
Yes, that would be fun, wouldn't it?
Yay!
Oh, the lovely Rosie, but oh gosh, if it comes to presentation stakes, Rosie will probably beat us hands down. But
we can't have Rosie. Sorry, Rosie.
Well, Andrew could come back because Andrew's one of the crew as well, so it could be, you know, there could be four old queens in the tent, couldn't it?
I'm definitely presenting this. This is happening. Even if we can't get into the tent, we'll just go into a tent and we'll make this happen.
We'll film it. On
that note, there's a wonderful, and I hope it's not an apocryphal story, a couple of footmen or butlers or something squabbling in a corridor outside the Queen Mother's apartment, obviously, clearly before she died. And apparently she opened the door and went, "When you two old queens stop quarrelling, this old queen wants a gin and tonic." And I just love that story. I think just shows a nice bit of humour. Anyway.
So is this how you're going to treat me and Howard if we get back into the tent then? Is that basically how it's going down?
Bring it on.
That would be just wonderful. Perhaps it would be a spin-off series.
We are making this happen. This is my New Year's resolution, to make this happen. Fabulous. This is what we're going to do.
That would be good. Perhaps we could do a US road trip, guys. Perhaps we're doing a US road trip would be just amazing. Anyway, there we
Great.
Go.
Great. Well, I don't think we need to discuss the episode. I think we can just talk about our plans for this. No, we will. We will discuss the episode. We will. So, yes, we had some lovely returning bakers. It does really feel like a warm, cozy blanket, doesn't it, to see four of the people we've grown to love come back into the tent. You know, it's still festive. We're baking new things. Paul is nicer. It just feels like a lovely, comforting start to the new year. So let's kick off with the signature. We had a savoury Wellington, which was a lovely challenge to see for a signature. Any pastry at all, but the fillings should hold festive memories. How would you quite like this trend of, you know, we saw it in the Christmas episode as well, your fillings must hold some sort of special memory to you. Do you like that?
I don't know. I must have been drinking at the time. I didn't know that they had to do special memories in the middle of a Wellington. I thought they were just putting a bit of, fish or meat in
there. Exactly. Just a bit of meat would probably do it.
Yeah. I've done Wellington in a class, but I can't, I can't recall putting any special memories in.
Did you not put some like right down the middle, like a core, or around the outside?
The thing that surprised me about this was Prue's comment about the Wellington, that it's a perfect hangover cure. It's like, I would never have thought of a Wellington as a hangover cure. A bacon sandwich, maybe.
Yeah, a bit of Alka-Seltzer.
Or full English, but yeah. Well, she's very posh, isn't she?
I feel like it might be the Queen Mother's hangover cure.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Well, I think maybe she was talking about Wellington boot as a really good sort of standby in case you feel queasy.
Jane.
No, sorry, that's gross. I'm really sorry about that.
Yes, a little bit of a posh hangover cure there, but a good Wellington is always a nice thing. So let's kick off with our flavours. We had Manon going for a salmon roulade Wellington with some lovely cream cheese and dill and her beurre blanc sauce, which sounded delightful. Anthony had a Kerala beef Wellington wrapped in onion and coconut duxelle, which sounded just amazing. Chig's jerk lamb Wellington with prosciutto and spiced mushroom duxelle with a lot of chili. And Lottie as well going for this salmon en croûte inspired with a bit of mackerel and caviar. Yeah, what a very luxurious signature challenge. Dan, is there any flavours there that really stood out for you?
You guys know I'm quite boring with my flavours. I like sort of classic things. So I would have really liked, I think I would have liked Anthony's, but I think he did a little bit of a twist on it, but most of the flavours were kind of, you know, the construction of it was sort of very similar. So I probably would have enjoyed Anthony's. I probably would have enjoyed all of them, to be honest. Chig's, I don't really like, I can't really do spice in terms of heat. You know, I like spice in terms of flavor, but in terms of heat, I give up very quickly with that. So Chig's is probably wouldn't have been quite my cup of tea. Not that that made it bad, it just wouldn't have been my cup of tea. Manon sounded sort of absolutely lovely. It's the kind of thing that I would have done in that situation. Very classic. Lottie's also sounded nice. It's a similar kind of salmon flavors. I mean, the decoration on hers was, how would you describe that, Jane?
A car crash, I think, is what I would
say. That's the spirit.
Yes, what does she call it? She did something and she said it was like polishing a turd.
She was spraying it with glitter or something. And that reminds me, I mean, I hate to make everything about myself, but we know me by now. I made a salmon kloubiak and very similar, actually. I wrapped it in a coriander pancake and then pastry and it looked god awful. And I just sprayed it with like silver spray. I was like, I'll fix it. And I feel like Lottie was taking a leap out of my book. She's just like, I'll just spray it with something, it'll cheer it up a bit. But yeah, it looked god awful. And I think there's, you know, there's something to be said for, you know, when things don't turn out exactly the way we planned. But it kind of, I didn't quite understand. Is it, she put an outer layer of pastry on that then just sort of broke and slid off? Was that basically what happened?
Yeah, she didn't chill the pastry at all before baking it, so it went straight from molding around the filling. And she was really, really short on time, so it went straight in the oven.
Yeah, not a pretty look, not a pretty look. Because that was the only real thing that went wrong, I said it's very easy to focus on Lottie's sort of rather interesting presentation. But I think everybody produced something that was technically well-baked and has interesting flavours, and the flavours delivered. So I think, you know, that aside, it was a very, very successful signature for everybody, wouldn't you say?
I think it was, definitely. I really enjoyed Manon's design, a callback to her Poppy the Octopus pastry in 2019 that didn't come out quite as she'd hoped. So it's always lovely to see when people try something again and try and have a bake-off tent redemption. Yeah. And I thought the technique of cutting out the little holes and then lining them, it just looked beautiful when it came out in a Wellington. The other three did very well with design overall.
It was a little traumatic for me to see Manon's octopus, because for those of you who don't pay quite as much attention to me as I do, the week that I got sent home was pastry week, and Manon was the other person who was up against the chopping block. It was between me and Manon. And Manon, I mean, mine was absolutely god-awful, but hers was not great either. And, you know, it was essentially Manon who sent me home by being slightly better. So I had very mixed feelings about seeing the reemergence of Poppy. But it was also sort of therapeutic for me to see her revisit a pastry disaster and pull it off and make it a wonderful thing. So,
would you do that, Dan, if you got the chance to go back in? Would you redo the bake that you were?
That would have been my instinct, actually, because I made a Coulibiac, which is very similar. It's basically a Wellington, and that's basically what I made. And I know how I could have made it differently. Like, I shouldn't have bothered poaching the fish first. I should have made a rough puff instead of a full puff. You know, there's things that I would instantly know how to change and how to do it better. Yeah, so I could have very easily come up with the idea because I've already tortured myself over how I should have done things differently. So yes, I could have done, that would have been my instinct actually. So I think that was kind of an easy one for her to prepare actually, because a lot of the thinking had probably already happened before she'd even seen the challenge.
Yeah, I mean, she was the only one as well, very sensibly, made a short crust. All the others made a rough puff. She was the only, so she would have had a lot more time to fiddle about with things and make it look beautiful, because I just didn't like the idea of it being cream cheese. I'm sure it tasted delicious, but it worked and everybody loved it. But can I go into one of my huge bugbears that everybody who's listened to this, yeah, cling film. How much cling film was in this episode? There was huge, you know, Manon had sheets of it. Lottie had sheets of it rolling their filling. What's wrong with rolling it in a bit of greaseproof paper rather than having to roll it in cling film? Please, Bake Off, please just say, this series, we're not having any cling film. I thought the challenge was lovely. I thought they all did really well. What, four great bakers really on their game this whole episode, I thought. It was just nitpicking to sort of choose between them. I thought it was great. But that wretched cling film just ruined the signature bake for me. It was such a shame.
It would be really nice, considering that we had our final, last year, was so focused on our beautiful planet. It would be really nice if Bake Off would help to lead the way in getting rid of cling film, because there are so many alternatives nowadays, and it is such a single-use product. So, yes.
There are compostable, disposable piping bags now that are sort of made of plant things, I imagine some sort of cellulose-adjacent type thing. So I feel like cling film or something similar that is compostable can't be too far away, actually. So
Let's hope so.
It's a very useful product. But as Jane and Howard like to say, like, it's not the best for the single-use plastics generally are just like not the best thing in the world. So hopefully they will come out with an alternative, because it is blooming useful, I'm afraid, Jane. I know, no matter how much you hate it, it does have its uses.
Well, I haven't used any. I haven't used any for about three to four years now. I've got still the same manky old roll of it in my drawer as I had before. And whenever I think, oh gosh, cling film would be really useful now, I find a different way around it. I just don't think we need it, to be perfectly honest.
You had me at manky old roll.
You didn't have any breakfast then. That was my only bugbear. But for me, the flavour I really want to recreate is Lottie's. I thought that sounded fab with the pea and mint around the outside and the two bits of salmon and the mackerel and caviar in the middle. I mean, a real luxury filling, but it's... I just love the sound of those flavours. I thought it's...
Even the lemon and black pepper crepe, I thought sounded nice. Ooh.
And the chive and parmesan pastry. It's just, they'd all seem to think about every aspect as well. To be quite honest, I'm not sure I would have liked any of these just for my own personal taste, but the spices that Anthony had put in, and putting the coconut in everything as well, and Chiggs' jerk seasoning with the chili, and it just all sounded divine. It was just so joyous to watch them all make such beautiful, beautiful things. The comments as well, as we've said, were really, really great from the judges. I think Manon had absolutely no negative comments at all. I think it didn't Prue say she couldn't find any faults, and she had a full redemption from her previous pastry failure, so that is always good.
Where was the handshake?
Exactly. Yes. And what was wrong with Paul? Come on, get your hand out. Could have given handshakes all round.
Literally nothing bad to say.
I do get what the public, sometimes the public will moan and they'll say, you shouldn't just give out handshakes willy-nilly. But to me, if a bake is a 10 out of 10, they've nailed everything, they've delivered technically, the flavours are amazing, why hold back? It doesn't make that, if you're handing out a handshake for something being exceptional, if it's exceptional, you should give it a handshake, I think.
I agree. So I'm
disappointed for Manon. I mean, she got a handshake on her own season in week 5. I remember it well. I was there. So she has gripped the sausagey fingers of Mr. Hollywood, but I think she deserved one then. I really did.
Indeed, yes. It was a disappointment that she didn't get one. I mean, that's where the handshake came from originally, wasn't it? Paul was so overwhelmed with the beautifulness of somebody's bake that he put his hand out to congratulate the baker. That's the point of the handshake.
Prue was the one who really loved it, and Prue doesn't have a handshake, does she? And I think if Prue had an honour to bestow in the same way, she would have given her one, if that makes any sense. So I don't know if he loved it quite as much as Prue did, but Prue said she couldn't find fault with it. Is that what she said?
She said she can't find anything to complain about, which I thought was sort of damning with faint praise in a way. I thought that sounded horrible.
Do you want to complain about it?
Complain about. I just think, is that what you're looking for? But Anthony, I think, equally could have been there for the handshake, because it was looks amazing, looks faultless, beautifully cooked, so delicate, a triumph. So, you know, there's nothing negative about Anthony's either. So I think there could have been at least two handshakes there, to be honest.
I think Chiggs did well. The only thing that sort of let him down a little bit was it just looked a little bit pale. It needed a bit more colour on the outside. But
Chiggs' lamb was a little overcooked. You have to be very careful with a lamb loin, because you can almost eat it raw, to be honest, a lamb loin. So we'd just too long in the pan before sticking it in the pastry, that's all. I think Prue said to him, you just need a pan really hot, just sort of
a few seconds,
seal it. Yeah. very just like Anthony did. He was almost counting it as he was rolling it over. So you just need to seal that and get a bit of color, and as quick as you like,
just need to seal the juices in, really. That's all you're doing.
Yeah.
So a very, very solid start from our four bakers. Even Lottie's puzzling pastry still tasted beautiful. Fish perfectly cooked, crisp pastry. Taste-wise, it's a triumph. So even the worst was still hardly the worst. So a very, very good start from everybody. So we move on to the technical challenge now. This was a very interesting one. I enjoyed watching immensely. This was a vegan baked Alaska. Is this the first time we've seen a vegan challenge when it wasn't specifically a vegan week? We had a chocolate sponge, chocolate ganache, raspberry ice cream, and a vegan meringue in 2 hours and 45 minutes. I think I would have cried. That sounds like a lot to accomplish. What does anybody think of that challenge?
I think there was one other vegan bake. I forget what week there was. I think in one of the previous seasons they had a vegan technical for some reason. But yes, all power to your vegans. But you have to understand, as a non-vegan, doing vegan baking is sort of a bit harrowing, and it's just things we don't even think about. That being said, making the cashew ice cream is not so difficult. Okay, it was surprising that a couple of them didn't bother to get the seeds out of their raspberries, which is just that's such a beginner error. Like, nobody wants to eat raspberry seeds, you know? Well, I mean, I sieve raspberries every time because it's a horrible mouthfeel, in my opinion. So I'm surprised that half of them made that mistake.
Even in jam? Oh, God.
No. Oh, I like a few seeds in a jam.
You're both
wrong.
I
like a few seeds in a jam,
too. You're both
wrong. Are we? Okay, fair enough.
Dan has spoken.
I have spoken. But the aquafaba was the interesting bit. So a vegan cake, not so difficult. You know, ganache is not really that hard. You know, ganache is just two ingredients for anyone who doesn't know. But the aquafaba was the interesting bit. And I think that was where they were most likely to go wrong. From my experience of whipping up aquafaba, it does smell like fart, doesn't it? It's a really unpleasant, but once you put sugar in it, and I don't know, because that wasn't cooked, was it? They did an Italian meringue, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
So I don't know how much that beanie flavour would have disappeared. But if you bake it, you sort of the beanie flavour kind of goes away a bit. But yeah, that I think that was the bit that made the most visible difference between them. And there was quite an array of standards on that. But aquafaba is very unstable in my experience. It's you've really got to whip the hell out of it. And they've added a bit of cream of tartar, a little bit of acidity to help stabilize it, which would have helped a little bit. But it's still very delicate, very delicate. And I don't actually know what the right thing to do was. I think they were like holding off until the last minute. I don't know. I haven't done it enough to know how much that would make a difference and what the correct path was on that one. So that was interesting. Do you know anything about that, Jane?
No, I don't really. It's a tough one. As we saw with Freya, she could make some very good meringue, but it still all had sort of stability issues. It's hard. I think if I was vegan, which I'm not, I probably would never bother to make meringue because I hate the smell of aquafaba when it's going into something sweet. And the stability is bad. And I think why make something that isn't particularly successful? You know, just because you're vegan doesn't mean you have to make everything that a non-vegan would eat. And the ice cream looked great. And actually, I'm quite tempted to try a cashew nut ice cream. I've never done that, but it looked fab, didn't it, with the raspberry syrup. Ganache is fine. You can do anything with a ganache. I don't think I would have chosen something with the meringue. I just sort of didn't think it was necessary. And I think they were being really set up to not have a particularly good result. And I think had it been me setting that challenge, I would have tried to be a little bit more creative, I think, and maybe, you know, a fancy Arctic roll. So you have a challenging sponge without eggs that you have to then roll around a filling. So it would have been hard because the eggs give it a lot of elasticity and things. I just didn't like the idea of the meringue. I could see where they were going and I could see the whole veganuary thing, but so please just leave out the vegan meringue. It's
not the nicest.
It's not the nicest thing to eat. Even when you've had a sort of a halfway decent one, it's not the nicest thing to eat. So
I will say, though, I have tried making a vegan Swiss roll, and that is actually incredibly difficult without eggs.
I've tried that as well.
Not easy.
Howard, if you were presented with this challenge of doing a vegan baked Alaska, what would you think you would struggle with? Is there anything you'd sort of look at and think, how do I do that?
Do you know, I think I would have struggled with it all. I really do. It's like, I thought it was one of those, it's one of those challenges where you see the exemplary bake and you think, they're not going to pull this off. And actually, I take my hat off to them. Even when the judges went into the tent and saw them, they thought, do you know, these are four pretty decent vegan baked Alaskas. So I think with all the constraints that they had, they did a brilliant job, really.
Is the point of veganuary that you eat your vegan through January? I just thought it was like a sort of a general vegan awareness thing. I didn't realise it was like you're actually supposed to be vegan.
You read vegan cookbooks whilst eating a bacon sandwich. That's what you do.
Okay, we
apologise to all the vegans we've just upset there, Howard.
Already doing dry January. I'm not doing no meat as well, sorry vegans.
Or eggs, or butter, or cream,
To be honest, I can probably live without meat, but I couldn't live without eggs, especially as a baker. Like, replacing eggs is just impossible. There's nothing that replaces them, is there?
Vegan cheese is not for me either, I have to say.
Again, that's another one of those things. If it tastes horrible, don't try and recreate a non-vegan thing. Just eat something else.
I think the thing that puzzles me is when you see something like pulled pork vegan burgers. And it's like, if you don't like the idea of pulled pork carcass, then why do you want that idea in a burger? Just have something else. Have a nice nut roast. You know, embrace it.
Veggie's lovely.
Yeah.
Actually, pulled jackfruit is pretty tasty. Yeah. You know,
great, so
call it pulled jackfruit burger as opposed to a pulled pork burger.
Precisely. Call it a jackfruit burger. Let's embrace all these other plant-based items that we have. I'm all for that, but don't call it pork.
I can't believe I'm saying this, but I agree with you, Sarah. Yeah.
is that because you don't like veganism or because you don't like agreeing with me?
Yes.
Both?
Yes.
Both? Okay. I'll go with that.
Did we talk about this when we were doing the chat for the main series? They've got banana flour fish and chips.
What?
Have you heard about that? So banana bunches of bananas grow on these flowers that sort of dangle down. And
is this a dream you had?
No, it isn't a dream. And as the flower grows down, the bananas gradually get smaller. So they chop the flower off at the bottom, and you've got this big sort of sticky bud thing. And then they do something with it and stick it in a tin. And then what you do is you put it in a brine with some seaweed, whatever the black seaweed stuff's called, what's it called, that you do wrap sushi in and things.
Nori?
Nori,
thank you. You put some nori flakes in there and some sort of salty water, and you soak it in there. So it then absorbs all the flavour. Deep fry it in batter, and, fish and chip lovers could barely tell the difference between that and deep fried fish.
And then when you said banana flour, I thought you went flour. I was like, how do you make flour out of bananas?
Flower.
Oh, that's a trick.
Yeah, banana flour. You can buy it in tins. There you go. You can buy it in tins now. So not all. It's a waste product.
Perfect.
So rather than waste it, they do something with it and then stick it in a tin. We can turn it into fish and chips or fish, deep fried fish. So there we go. There are things that work really well going or trying to mimic non-vegan food, but I just don't think that meringue is one of them.
So yes, a very, very well done technical there from everybody. Anthony came fourth, Lottie came third, Chiggs was second, and Manon was first. I think everybody struggled slightly with the shape, and I think we've discussed maybe about vegan meringue not being able to hold its shape quite as well as eggs. I think that's why Manon definitely waited till the last minute to make her meringue. But again, everybody had really good comments. The boys, as we said, left their raspberry seeds in, so maybe not the smoothest of ice creams. But yes, all really good efforts there in the Vegan Baked Alaska.
I'm very glad that Manon won, actually, and I'll tell you why. Because Manon had the insight to know to do the meringue at the last minute, and the others then all copied her. So they got the benefit of her experience. I would have been a little bit annoyed if one of them had got better meringue and then been, because she was the one that knew, you know. So I'm glad to see her come out on top. Although I will say that rosettes, they're very hard to do well, and they often sort of fall apart. So I don't know if that was the best choice, even though I think there were rosettes on the exemplary bake. I probably would have done just sort of like little stars and peaks a little bit more like what Chiggs did. But I'm glad she came out on top, because I think she had all the good knowledge on that one. And I think it was another very successful bake for my bestie Manon. So not that I'm biased in any way at all, but I'm thrilled to see her coming out on top of that one.
So Dan is very clearly team Manon going into the showstopper. Howard, do you think somebody is edging ahead of anybody else, or do you think it's quite even going into the showstopper?
To be perfectly honest, it was pretty even all the way through. I thought that they were all really, really good bakers. So hard to call at this stage.
Mm, I agree.
Yeah, although the technical is ranked, obviously, the difference between the best and the worst was pretty minimal, wasn't
Absolutely.
It? It wasn't like there was one amazing one and one awful one. They were all pretty close.
Right, so we head into our showstopper, our first showstopper of the year, and we were making a bouche entremets, which just sounds absolutely delightful. I was very, very excited to hear this, because you've got an entremets and a bouche de Noël, put them together, a bouche entremets. Now, you see, again, I think they're copying us, because I believe we were the first company ever to make a bouche de Noël. I'm pretty sure we invented that. So
it is my bouche de Noël class, that is true. But it is a very classic cake that dates back to at least the 1600s. Oh. So it was probably actually James's.
Oh, dear. Is this the sort of year we're going to have, Dan?
Of course it is. I wondered where that was going. There we go. So they did not have an easy task. We have to make something that is beautiful, sort of log-inspired, bouche de Noël shape, but then has to have all these beautiful, beautiful layers in it. Howard, straight away, do you think Manon's counted as a Yule log, as a Bûche de Noël?
Do you know, I don't know. I thought it was really, really pretty. I don't know where she got that mould from, do you?
Oh, it looks great, doesn't it?
I'd Googled it afterwards and sort of thought, oh, that's really interesting, but I can't find it anywhere. So whether she's had it, I don't think she'll have had it specially made, do you?
Wouldn't have thought so. But
I will say about the Bûche shape is Manon is, I don't know if you're aware of this, but Manon is French.
What?
And it's true. No, but the Bûche, it doesn't mean log. The Bûche is just like the long, the sort of long shape. Like, it's just the shape, like a log shape, if you like. It doesn't mean a literal log. I don't think that there was anything technically wrong with the shape, but she definitely got a bit of an advantage from having a beautifully stylized
mold.
Oh,
I found it. I've just found the mold.
Have you?
Yes. Oh. It's in a European site. It's called Winter Village. Winter Village, and it's...
Is it horrifically expensive?
€28. Oh, excluding VAT on top, 28. And they do one also, here we go, that's it, I'm completely sidetracked now. They do one called Lumière, and it is 10 candles with a wick. Sort of side by side in a log shape.
I'm thinking Beauty and the Beast.
Yes, it was. I'm very excited then. Chocolate Lumière. That was going to make my day, was that?
Oh, there we go. Yeah, Winter Village. So there we go, guys. It's on the shop silcomart.com website.
But quite weird that the other three all had the exact same mold. So I guess maybe that was one of the standard ones, maybe just when you Google Bûche mold. It looks really nice. It was all in sections and they sort of peeled off quite comfortably. So as I, like a chump, have been making mine in a one-piece mould and desperately freezing it and turning it out and making it hard for myself, whatever mould they had looked fantastic. And they got some really nice shapes on there, didn't they? I think Chig's in particular. I actually didn't really like his tempered chocolate decorations. I've got to be honest. On the ends, I don't think they added anything. In fact, I thought they took away, if anything else. But the decoration he had on the middle, it was he had a lovely smooth Bûche shape, and the decoration on the top was absolutely stunning. I thought Chig's looked absolutely beautiful. That was lovely.
I think, was it Prue that said that the chocolate was unnecessary?
She did. You don't think it was because it was a bit dodgy coming out of the mould and he thought, what can I do on the ends? I'll stick something over it.
I'm assuming so, but I think it looked, sometimes we've all done this, where something's a little bit messy and you try to conceal it with a bit of decoration and then you just end up making it look worse. You know, like if there's a little bit of a crack and you get out the offset spatula and try and smooth it over, and instead of being a tiny area, you've now made a huge area look rubbish. And I think that's sort of what he'd done, I think. And I didn't think it looked good, but you know what it's like in the tent, you're running out of time. You're like, oh, what can I do to cover this up? Oh, let's just scribble a bit of chocolate on there. But I thought it generally looked really nice. What he should have done, in my opinion, was just cut a slice off each end. That's what I would have done.
Oh, yeah.
Just cut a slice off each end so that then you just see the middle section. And then it would look cleaner. You just get run a knife under hot water to get it really hot and then wipe it off and then cut through it and you get a nice clean cut. That's what I would have done.
Yeah. I think it's a really good call there, as much as I hate to agree with you, but yeah. Because I didn't think of that.
In terms of stuff not coming out quite as you would like it and then disguising it a bit, I thought Manon did a really good job with the dusting of cocoa powder.
She did, didn't she?
You know, just tidying everything up and giving it that even coating made it look really, really lovely.
Twitter is going to be up in arms, though, because when we're on our season, she blew on something.
Oh, yes.
And Twitter went mental. They were like, this is so unhygienic. Nice. And then she's literally, like, we don't, like, I mean, I don't know. I'm one of those parents now. Like, we don't even blow out the candles on cakes. We clap them out. Like, you can just sort of clap at the cake and blow the candles go out. Yeah. Because we sort of got a little bit gone off spitting all over our food, haven't we, since COVID. So, I think the internet will be very upset about that. But, she covered it nicely, though. I thought it was. She really got out of jail free with that one. I think that was brilliant intuition there.
I think I would have liked to have seen. I know it was all chocolate, wasn't it? What was the bit in the middle? Oh, white chocolate mist. chocolate. I know it's fairly classic, but I would have liked to have seen something in the middle just to cut through the richness, maybe. Like Chig's put raspberry in there to cut through the richness. Just a little something, maybe an orange or maybe even a chestnut through the middle and not too sweet. I just felt I could feel it sort of wrapping itself around my teeth and wanting to drink something to get it down. I'm sure it was delicious, but I would have loved just something a wee bit sharper to cut through it.
I completely agree. You know how much I like all the classic sort of combination of flavours and stuff, and you're right, a little bit of sharpness. So my go-to is always raspberry, just because it's one of my favourite flavours to go with chocolate, or like a passion fruit, or as you say, like an orange, like something bright and sharp.
Or a cherry, just don't oversweeten the cherries. Put a sort of something Morello-y through. Yeah,
a sour cherry maybe. Yeah.
It would have been nice, cherry and chocolate.
I appreciate that my opinion carries absolutely no cachet here, but I actually disagree. I think like a nice, I mean, obviously none of us have tasted it, so none of us can truly say, but I think I really liked that she just did the three different chocolates and had nothing else, because the mousse can be quite, I appreciate you're not going to have the sharpness, but the, you know, the white chocolate and then the dark chocolate, I think the flavours can just marry together so perfectly that they can actually be quite light. So I actually thought it was quite a bold thing to do, because I know chocolate can be quite overwhelming, but I hope it tasted as good as we thought it did.
I think you're right, actually. It's kind of a bold thing to do because it's weirdly simple for Bake Off. I think, like, as one of Jane's phrases is throwing the kitchen sink at it, you know, it's very tempting to go nuts and just chuck everything into things. But going plain is a kind of bravery of itself, going for something simple, saying, you know, the execution will carry it. And I think they did find a slight fault with the balance of it, but overall she did quite well. Someone who wasn't afraid of throwing the balance out was, of course, Lottie, who delivered something I thought was quite wild. What did you reckon to all that moonshine stuff, Howard? Are you familiar with that?
I've never tried moonshine. This has definitely got to be on my... well, if we're doing dry January, I shall have to wait till February, won't I now? But it's... Yeah, it's sort of tangy, was it? I couldn't quite... I don't know what to expect from the flavour of it at all. So Paul said he was getting... his jaw was aching with the tanginess of the moonshine. Yeah.
Oh, when it hurts you right up in your jaw.
Yeah! So I don't know whether that was the moonshine or the blackberry that was doing that.
Does that sound like a pleasant thing? I'm not...
No.
Oh, it's really hurting my face. I love it.
There is a really good phrase that actually is used in the TV show The Good Life from the 70s. Somebody has some homemade wine and it's so tart and sharp and alcoholic that Richard Briers, who plays Tom Good, says, "It's hurting the back of my eyes." And it does. It sort of hits you like right up here. And that's all I could think of when she said that. But I thought her design of the flames on the log was beautiful. It was so inventive. And Jane, it reminds me of your gorgeous holly on your Christmas patterned roulade.
Oh, yes. I mean, they're fun. It's fun to do. And there are all sorts of different ways of doing it. But I thought it was different. And I so went with her when she went, "I hate this bit." And she cut a bit of sponge and was just praying it didn't crack as it went in. I thought it was great design and it was different, which is what I really liked. But oh my word, she put a lot of flavours in. She had yuzu and whiskey jelly, which sadly didn't quite set. Blackberry, orange parfait, you know. God, again, a lot of flavours that made me think, oh, you could have probably taken out at least one of those flavours and it might have all just sounded a little bit more cohesive. But all credit to her. It was amazing. And wouldn't have expected anything less from Lottie, to be perfectly honest. It was...
She's not shy with her flavours, is she?
No, she's not. She's good. She's wonderful to watch, isn't she? I mean, I know we want a television show. Thank you, everybody. You know, we are fighting for who's going to be there in front of the camera. But I think Lottie, we need to see more Lottie somewhere because she's brilliant in front of the camera. And she's just a complete natural. Just a joy to watch.
Too bad she's such an eyesore.
Oh, Dan.
She's incredibly pretty. Can I just say, though, her hair is amazing. I love her hair. So pretty. I don't know how girls do that. I try and do my daughter's hair all the time. It ends up looking... I just don't know how to do it. I'm going to have to seek professional help. I'll get Lottie to help me. Maybe I'll get in touch.
Get in touch with her.
None of them are hard to look at, aren't they? They were a really lovely group to watch.
They're a cute bunch. And I think it was funny, actually. Somebody said about Chigs. I think it was Matt was talking to Chigs and said something along the lines of, oh, did you get spotted a lot or whatever? And he said, the gays like you, don't they? And he's like, yeah, they're always asking me. And he said, they always ask me if I'm gay, but I never answer. And I'm like, you know how to work the crowd, Chigs. You know what you're doing. It was a very handsome bunch, actually, wasn't it? It was a very good-looking crew.
It was, yeah. Anthony, I thought, was just gorgeous. A man on a... Of course, he's lovely. No, we mustn't be... We're talking about their baking, not about their looks.
Baking, sorry, back to baking.
Non-PC, isn't it? But
they are a beautiful bunch.
They are a beautiful bunch, all of them.
I was reminded in Lottie's log of the jelly she was putting through in the very long, thin mould. It reminded me of Dawn last year, where she put the jelly... And it seemed to be exactly the same mold. And I was sort of having palpitations and flashbacks to Dawn's jelly not working. And then Lottie's didn't work. And I thought, don't buy this mold. Nobody buy this mold they keep using.
I think the mold is fine for different things. I think the trouble is with those molds, she said, with no experience. So I'm completely talking out of, we won't go into it. If she'd put a mousse or a bavoir in there and frozen it, would have come out just fine. Jelly, you're not supposed to freeze jelly.
No.
So to put jelly in that mould, and jelly's terribly delicate, and if you freeze it, there's a good chance it's not going to work. I think on a series, years ago, it was like, don't put gelatin in the freezer, which we all do at times. So I think it's what they put in the mould, not the mould, that's an issue.
They will have filmed this before Dawn's series was televised.
Yes.
So probably used the same mould.
Quite possibly.
Probably.
Very, very true.
Can I just talk about... We haven't really talked about Chigs and Anthony's bakes, but Chigs... I was a huge fan of Chigs last year. I thought he always paced himself really well and was very measured and controlled and did a lovely job. I thought... Chocolate bits aside, the flavour combination and the neatness of it was just delicious, wasn't it? And the mango glaze, I thought a mango glaze was a genius. I can't wait to rush out and try some of the things from all of them, actually. And Anthony's chestnuts. I think we have been treated with this episode to 4 fantastic bakers at the top of their game, just entertaining us in a way that Bake Off can do. And it just filled me with joy for the new year. I thought the whole programme was fantastic. I absolutely loved every minute of it.
Yeah, totally agree.
Apart from the cling film.
I think often Bake Off will play up or sort of the drama and the mistakes. They didn't have the opportunity to do that this time because everybody delivered, everybody did a great job, everyone in that tent. There was no sort of seat warmers, no place fillers. Everyone there did a fantastic job. And that was really nice, actually, because as much as it's funny to see people mess up or it adds a bit of drama and interest, it's really nice to just see a bunch of people who are really good at something go into a space and all do a good job and all being able to feel proud of what they did. And I think that was a lovely way, as you say, to start the year and to welcome Bake Off into the new year. I thought it was lovely. It filled me with a little bit of joy.
It really, really did. I wholeheartedly agree. So, yes, very, very good comments from everybody. Manon's 3 Chocolate Village Bouche de Noël with all the different chocolates looked very wintry and festive. And the way she got the mousse to hold the shape of the mould was very, very impressive. Anthony's Chestnuts with Love had all the Christmassy flavours, pears, mulled wine, chestnut, caramelised white chocolate. It was beautiful and shiny. The flavours blended really well together. Could not give enough praise to Anthony, couldn't the judges? Chig's Bougie Boosh, as we've just spoken about, was beautiful. Spiced pistachio, cardamom, saffron, white chocolate, raspberry, mango, all the flavours. Again, spectacular was the word they used for the flavours, and unusual but lovely. So superbly high praise there. And Lottie's, the original Yule log with its gorgeous patterned sponge flames, all the booze. Maybe she had a few technical wobbles there, but it did look beautiful, the overall effect. And I'm not sure the judges said too much about the flavours. I don't know if I missed that, but I assume everything went well together because it all just sounded absolutely delightful. And so, of course, with our festive episodes, we don't have to send anybody home, which is brilliant. And we do get to crown a Bake Off Star Baker. And this year, our New Year's Star Baker was Manon. So, Howard, what do you think? I mean, I think any of them could have won. A well-deserved win there.
It was a well-deserved win, but you're absolutely right. The standard was so, so high, any of them could have won.
And of course, well, we don't have to say goodbye to any of the contestants, but actually we are saying goodbye to Matt Lucas, aren't we? He's done three series now. It's nice that he's done some in lockdown and out of lockdown, so he's had the full Bake Off experience. But yes, he is moving on to other projects, and it's going to be really sad to see Matt Lucas go. He really burst onto the Bake Off screens, didn't he, with his impression of Boris Johnson in lockdown. It was a very memorable start. So, Jane, what do we think about seeing Matt Lucas go?
Oh, I'm very sad. I'm very fond of Matt Lucas. I cannot imagine who's going to take over from him. I thought it was a brilliant fit, Matt, with Noel. And I was delighted when he joined the team. And hopefully they will pick somebody equally as lovely. But we wish him well and hope, as Sarah's saying, it's her.
I'll do it. I'm free. Well, yes, unfortunately, it is a goodbye to Matt Lucas, but what a lovely way to start the new year with our lovely new Star Baker and our beautiful, beautiful episode of Lovely Bakers. So thank you once again, all our lovely listeners, for tuning in and listening to The Bake Down. We could not do this without you. We hope to see you all at a Bake with a Legend class very soon. Jane, Howard and Dan, thank you for spending the time with us today and chatting about our New Year's Bake Off. Happy New Year, everybody. We hope you have a wonderful rest of your January and we'll see you very soon. Goodbye.
Just heard a Stripped Media production.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.